Chapter 1, if you have your Bibles.
Ruth.
Chapter 1. Again, I'm going to minister. I'm looking forward to it. I love looking at astronomy and such, and we're going to look at some of that tonight. And so just mark that, and it's information. If you're going to talk to people, maybe you can use this to show them that, you know what, we're not a cosmic accident. There's a creator, a designer, God in heaven, Jesus Christ. Nothing was made except through Him, and so thank God. So you look forward to that. Ruth chapter 1. One man wrote these words in a book. He said, "The human soul is a wonderfully built grand piano, a magnificent instrument. Yet the quality of the music that comes from it is totally dependent on the one who is at the keyboard. A master concert pianist at the keys will carry you along in a very beautiful music and just enthrall you. But let a gorilla onto the same stage, and it will be a horrible discord, creating disaster and damage and a cacophony." And I love that word, cacophony. It's the same with us in our daily choices. Will you present yourself to Christ, the master pianist who will produce beautiful music of His life through you? Or will you present yourself to sin and bring discord and destruction to your soul? We all will face choices in life, and there'll be crossroads. And there was an old famous New York Yankees baseball player, Yogi Berra, who famously quoted, "When you come to a crossroad, a fork in the road, take it." But we will all come to decisions in life that are going to take us in directions. I want to look with you at a young woman named Ruth and decisions that she would make that were critical. Little lengthy portion of scripture. The background of this is that a Jewish family, a father, two sons, and a mother have moved away from Israel into the land of Moab. This would have been across the Jordan River and heading out towards Iraq, modern-day Iraq. They went there because there was famine, there was better money to be made, if you will, in Moab. And through the process of time, all the men died. First the father died. The two sons, while they were there, they married. And now they've passed away, and the mother is going to return to Israel. And that's where we pick up the story. Her name is Naomi. And then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed His people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, they got ready to leave the land of Moab and return to the homeland. With her two daughter-in-laws, she set out to leave the place that she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, "Go back to your mother's homes. May the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with security of another marriage." And she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Why should you go with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up and become your husbands?" That was a Jewish thing back then. I'm glad it's not now. But anyway. "No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? You would have to wait for them to grow up, refuse to marry someone else. No, of course not, my daughters. These things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord Himself has raised His fist against me. And then again, they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. I want to talk to you firstly about life's choices. Every one of us makes choices all the time. There's just choices we make. You got up this morning and you made a choice to come to church. You made a choice before you came to church of what you were going to wear to church. And I'm very glad you chose to wear clothes. That's helpful. Right? You're going to choose what you'll have for lunch today. These aren't big choices. Tomorrow, they will have very little ramifications on your life. I don't wake up and go, "Wow, I'm glad I wore that suit today." It's just not that important of life. There's momentary. We make these all the time. We're constantly making choices. Which route we'll take. Where we'll go. Whether we'll shop at, Wegmans or Walmart or all these or Tops or whatever. And we make these choices in life that don't have major consequences on our lives. We make more important choices, such as where to live, what job, if we'll stay where we're at. We make money or debt issues. Are we going to buy this or not? Can we afford this? This is a choice. They have ramifications, but they're not typically like long-term or life-changing ramifications, because where we live, you can move. Where you work, you can get another job. If you get in debt, you can get out of debt if you're disciplined. These are things that may create some issues of life, but they're not necessarily the ones that really mark. And then there's the issues of life that are very important, the choices we make. The obvious one would be marriage. Who you marry is going to have a great impact on your life, for good or for bad. Pray for good. Right? That this is going to have an issue. Whether you come to church, whether you decide to stay in church, will have a great impact on your life. There's issues of sin. Do I do something I know what I shouldn't do? We all have free will to make choices. We are faced with them all the time, and we can make those choices ourselves. Starbucks baristas actually are challenged by 170,000 different choices in Starbucks. It's incredible. The article from the New York Times said Starbucks turned regular drip coffee into a $5 half-calf extra whipped cream mocha latte. And now they are producing dozens of bizarre concoctions dreamed up by social media stars. These complex drinks include triple caramel latte treats, cold brew with caramel syrup, maple sweet, and a cold foam blended with dark caramel and a caramel drizzle, and a maca pink drink featuring a chain strawberries refresher beverage, green tea powder, sweet cold foam, and on it goes. He says it's a bit exhausting, but a Starbucks barista in Buffalo, New York was quoted in the article, said the drinks treat Starbucks menu like a cheap lineup of drinks of more buffet ingredients to be mixed together in crazy ways that create off-menu drinks that list 10 separate combinations on side of the cups. 10 of the concoction. These customized beverage centers become a mainstay. Customers' ability to tailor a drink to any of their tastes. It takes extreme. Starbucks says in addition to the beverage options listed on the menu board, there are all these ways baristas can customize the beverage. But the article went on to say that Americans suffer from a plague of things that are far too complex. We have too many choices, too many options. I've mentioned before that I was pastoring in Europe for a long time, and a pastor came from Holland, and he was doing some seminars for pastors in the English, and I was in Ireland at the time, and he said, don't misunderstand me, I love America, and the Brits are like, yeah, we love America too, yeah, great. He goes, but it's the land of too many choices. Says at breakfast, we get a choice of bread, toast. It's white or wheat. Not in America. White, wheat, marble rye, English muffins, whole grain, seven grain, everything, nothing, you know. We get all the juice. They get orange juice. We have orange, tomato, cranberry, cran grape, cran this, cran that. You know, we get all of these. I have seen foreigners come and walk through supermarkets in America, and you take them to a place like Wegmans, and they freak out, like, we live in that. They say a restaurant with too many menu choices, people begin to second and guess themselves, third side, where if a menu only has like seven main courses, people will make their decision and stick with it. And that's America. We have lots of choices. There's choices that, like I said, they're not relevant. They're not going to really affect our lives. What you eat for lunch today probably will have no bearing by Thursday. But there are choices that we have to make that really do affect our lives and have long-term consequences to the decisions that we make. And life is not like the movies, that it comes with the soundtrack, right? Wouldn't it be great as if you came to the point where you're about to make a major life decision, that all of a sudden there would be music and you would know, okay, that's good music. I must be making a right decision. Or that sounds like something from a horror film. I must be making a bad decision. Right? Like, there's for some reason, it's like in, here, basic plot of every horror movie, right? There's a killer in the house. I know what we'll do. We'll separate and we'll all go try to find him and outsmart him. Right? And they all get killed one by one, right? I could write for Hollywood. Right? And the girl goes to reach for the doorknob, and the music, you're like, doo, 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 doo. And then there's nothing, and then it comes from behind, right? And so, we don't get that. Ruth and Orpah are not getting this. Little useless trivia for you, that was supposed to be Oprah Winfrey's name, Orpah. But they misspelled it on the birth certificate. True story. They're going to make a choice here that alters their lives forever. Do I follow Naomi or do I not? Do I go to the land of Israel or do I not? Tess Brigham is a licensed psychotherapist, and she specializes in treating the millennial generation. That really wasn't what she went into it. They just kind of flocked to her practice. She said, 90% of my patients are between the ages of 23 and 38. The other 10% are their parents. So over the last 5 years, the practice that she's noticed, in her practice noticed, that dominates the problems is people say, I have too many choices and I can't decide on what to do. What if I make the wrong choice? Psychologist Barry Schwartz has a theory in this case, and he wrote a book, The Paradox of Choices. He argues that people are more likely to regret their choices if they have too many options. Either they then make poor choices, or because they feel bad about making a choice, they refuse to make a choice, which is a choice. Brigham goes on to say that she counsels her clients into self-awareness to identify the options and what's really important to them, and then just to embrace the outcome for their own lives with grace and acceptance. We make choices, critical, life-changing choices, and sometimes we don't even understand the ramifications. These two ladies are going to make a choice, and I don't know that they don't have any way of knowing in the future how this is all going to play out. We have the rest of the book of Ruth. We know how it plays out for Ruth. We're going to look at that a little bit. But we don't get that option in our own lives, do we? We're going to make a choice, and this is going to weigh. This can be the people you hang out with. There's people who make decisions. You know, bad company, 1 Corinthians 15:33-34, don't be fooled by such things. For bad company corrupts good character. Not all have the knowledge of God. I speak this. He says, think about this carefully and do what's right. Stop sinning, for this is a shame, for some do not know God at all. Who you hang around with is going to have a great influence on your life. Their choice here is pagan people or the people of God. Moab was a cursed nation. They were not to enter the assembly to the 10th generation because they did not help the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. God was not pleased with these people. And so he said, they're not coming in. They were into all sorts of idolatry and paganism. And Naomi, she's not right here. She's telling them, go back to your people and to your gods. They are going to have to make a decision. You know, when I got saved, I was playing in a rock and roll band. We weren't like great, but we weren't bad either. I mean, you know, we just played a lot of heavy metal. And when I got saved, two of us in the band got saved, two didn't. And we were going to have to make a decision. Are we going to stay in this band? We made the decision. I got saved July 22nd. By August 15th, we said, you know what? This band's over. I can't sing those lyrics anymore. If you're going to say you can't sing anyway, don't go there, okay? Right? I was the singer, and he's like, I can't, you know, no. Are you going to choose faith or familiar? Orpha's choice is to go back to the familiar. It's what Naomi pushes her to. Go back to the familiar. Ruth's going into the unknown. Faith will take you into the unknown. There are many people who don't become a Christian because they know their sin's destroying them. They know the path they're on is not good, but you know what? It's a familiar path. It's familiar habits. Orpha's never heard from again, because choices we make have consequences. And they'll affect others. They'll play out in your family. I've seen parents make choices that they think are, but this plays out in their children. Let's think about one of the first choices. Want a bite? And that 6,000 years, that's still playing out in their children. Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam brought sin. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone had sinned. One decision, one choice, plays out even today. So we make choices. Your sin will play out in your children. Children of smokers, much more likely to become smokers. Children of alcoholics, much more likely to become alcoholics. Children of divorced people, much more likely to get... On and on and on and on that goes. That's not an opinion, that's statistics. Because that is human nature. One man wrote these words. He said, of Dan, I'm going to butcher this Israeli name, but Kahneman. He's a very smart man who knows a lot about human intelligence. He's a brilliant psychologist, a Nobel Prize winning economics. Early in his career, he advised the Israeli military on how to train fighter pilots, presumably those who had never flown on planes, on how to make good decisions. In 2005, he was voted the 101st greatest Israeli of all time in a polling website. Yet in 2011, he made Bloomberg's 50 most influential people in global finances. He's written books, How to Think Fast and Slow, and he's written other books on that. And he said this interview and said these words in Time magazine. He said, "We are normally blind to our own blindness. We generally are overconfident in our opinions and in our impressions and judgments. We exaggerate how knowable the world is. What psychology and behavior economics have shown is that people don't think very carefully. They are influenced by all sorts of superficial things in their decision making, and they procrastinate, and they don't read the small print." Because choices today lead us to choices for tomorrow. They are making a choice on whether they will go forward. Because one choice leads to another. You make a choice today, begins to shape your life. J.K. Rowling, the author, the English author, said it's our choices that show what we truly are far more than our abilities. We make choices. They're going to lead us. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. I've kept the commandments. Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, okay, here's your choice. Go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, follow me. Jesus, it's the only one Jesus ever told that to. And he goes away sad. We make choices. Joshua said, Joshua 24:15, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve. Would you prefer to serve the gods of your ancestors that they served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you live now? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." We make choices. So now we have to choose wisely. Orpha and Ruth are faced with a choice. Direction of life. What am I going to do? We need to choose wisely. Deuteronomy 30:19-20, "Today I have set before you a choice between life and death, between blessing and curse. Now I call on heaven and earth as a witness to the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God and obeying him and committing yourself firmly on him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord swears to give your ancestors, swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I live by the Genesee River. And profoundly enough, there's a road. You ready? River Road. Not making that up. Runs by RIT. And they're having a constant spot where a sinkhole is opening up. Constantly. They repave it. They just repaved it, and it collapsed again. You drive over, it's bumpy again. It's constant. It's not a surprise, because there are things underneath that are drawing away the earth and the sand that they put there. They're going to have to come up. I can tell right now, they've done it 3 times in the last 2 years. It's the same spot, constantly. It's the same in our life, that there's sometimes, it's not the surface issue, it's the undermining things that are going on underneath the surface. They're creating, and eventually it shows up on the surface. Same is true with decisions that we're making. Let me tell you two very bad decision-making tools. One is your emotions. People make decisions out of emotion. This is what gambling and casinos base there. Are you feeling hot? Are you feeling lucky? Logically, you're not going to win. If you run the numbers, the house is stacked against you so badly, but they draw you in with feelings. You do you, man. Yeah. You know. And they draw people in. We're finishing up the Final Four this weekend, basketball tournament, NCAA basketball tournament. Most people vote their alma mater. They may not know one name of one young man or young woman that plays on that team. It doesn't matter. They feel it. Their school should win. Wait a second, you finished last in your division. Yeah, but we should win. Esau, Hebrews 12:16, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his firstborn, his birthright of the firstborn son for a single meal. I'm hungry, man, don't you know? I feel it. Well, what about facts? The other dangerous is don't trade the moment for the future. There's a funny rock and roll song back when I was a teenager. It was called Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. It's about a couple, they're in a car, and they're about to go all the way, and she says, wait, tell me that you'll love me forever. You'll make me your wife. He says, yes. Last verse of the song is, now I'm praying for the end of time, because I'm trapped now. I made a momentary decision and sold off my future. Ruth has got that choice now. What am I going to do? Am I going to sell off my future and go back to the familiar and the common, the pagan? Am I going to go with the people of God into destiny? And that being said, it's never one and done. We've got to
make more good. One choice leads to the next choice, leads to the next choice. We're all going to make choices. You chose this morning what you'll wear. Tomorrow you're going to get up, and you know what? You're going to be faced with that same choice again. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What, you know, what's for breakfast? Is it going to be Rice Krispies, or is it going to be Raisin Bran? Ready? Choices go on. But it also means that you make a commitment to your choice. Ruth said, "Don't ask me again to leave you and turn back. I've made up my mind." That's really good when we're serving God. Let's think about Ruth in closing. What does she get? One, she gets a new life. She goes into Bethlehem. She's accompanying Ruth 1:22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied with her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring, the beginning of the barley harvest. You know, there's decisions you make, takes you into new areas. You make these decisions. I remember getting saved, making decisions. Okay, I'm not going to hang around these people. I'm not going to go to those parties. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. Some of it's frightening because those were familiar. That was easy. There's something about it. I can hear songs today, 40 years later. I'll be in Home Depot or some other place where they play the music I grew up with, and I'll hear a song, and it'll take me back to a place and a time and a moment. Because in life, these things are there, and I think, what would I have been? It's impossible to know exactly if I had made a bad choice, if I had decided to date a girl that, you know, wasn't a Christian, like I've mentioned before, that, you know, as soon as I got saved, a girl I was very interested in broke up with her boyfriend and was, you know, and all of those things. What if I made those? I can't tell you exactly because, I mean, that's speculation at best. The best I could do is triangulate my family. What were they like? What are they like? My friends that I were with, where did they end up? And then what was already going on inside of me? What were my bents? What were my weaknesses? What were my future of life? And out of them, I can tell you that out of that, wouldn't we look good? I remember the last bass teacher I had lived in a studio apartment, divorced twice, couple of kids, worked a dead-end job, played in a band, smoked cigarettes like a chimney, which may be insulting to a chimney. Never saw him without a cigarette. Thinking, is that really what I want? Played in a band that played in a bar. That was his life. Gave up marriages and kids, career for that. What would I really want? Ruth has no idea that this is going to take her into the land that she's going to meet a man. Boaz, she's going to have children. Out of those children, she's going to be the great-grandmother of a king that will be more famous than any other king. Out of that king will come the Messiah. And that Ruth is mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. Because when we make good decisions, God gets involved. You know, God is for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. God wants to help us. We make good decisions, He will get involved. You know, King Asa's attacked. He's the king of Judah. He cries out to the Lord. This is 2 Chronicles 14, 11 and 12. He cries out to the Lord. O Lord, there is none but You that can help us, the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God. We trust in you alone. In your name we have come. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, our God, do not let mere men prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of all of Asa and the armies of Judah, and the enemy fled. God will help you. You start making right decisions, God's going to help you. And he's going to open up a future you could never imagine. Orpha went to Chicago and started a bad television show. Some of you get that later. Ruth, the lineage of Jesus. Our choices start today. Paul writes, and he's quoting the Old Testament, "For God has said at the right time, he's heard you on the day of salvation, I have helped you indeed." The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. That now we begin to make right decisions, calling on the Lord, repenting, and God will help us. That's where it begins, today. We're all faced with choices. Let's make the right choice. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Choices in life that we make critical begins with one major choice. Are you right with God? And do you want to get right with God? Jesus Christ looked at planet Earth and said, these people are... Sin prevails. You can't get yourself out of sin. You can't get yourself forgiven. He said, I know that, so I'll come pay the price for them. I'll move for them. I'll help them. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That decision starts today. We make the right decision that we're going to serve God. God's going to help us. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not right with God, you're not saved, you're not a Christian. It would be our privilege to say a simple prayer with you. We don't need all the details of your sin. We don't need all the details of all the things you've gone through. But what we can do is just introduce you to the Lord, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for your sins and can forgive you. And it would be our privilege to say a very simple prayer with you. If you're here this morning, you're not right with God, you want to get right, I wonder if you'd slip up your hand and say, you know what, that's me. I need to pray. I need to ask Jesus Christ into my heart. I need forgiveness. Maybe you're backslidden. You once knew the Lord. You turned away. You need to come back. Slip up your hand very quickly. Pray for me. I'm not right with God. I made bad choices. Took me away from the Lord. I need to come back. Here's my hand. I want to start making good choices today, right now. Today is the day. Anyone at all? We're going to move on very quickly. Changing the call then to Christians, it's not a one and done. You've made a good choice. You're saved. You love God. That's fantastic. But you know what? The choices don't end there. There's choices over temptation and decisions we'll make. There's choices of destiny and the will of God. There's choices concerning all sorts of issues of life. We need to make right decisions. If we do, God will help you. God will get involved. God wants to bless your life. He wants to move in your circumstances. But you just need to make and be willing to make the right decisions like Ruth did. Let's all stand. These altars are open. We're going to take time, worship God, sing a song out.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is.
to God this morning.
Jesus, Lamb of God, so worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Lamb of God, your name, Jesus, the Lamb of God, worthy is your name. One last time, in Jesus, the Lamb of God, and it's your name.
Please, let's give him glory this morning. Father, we love you and thank you. Lord, exalted are you. Oh, thank God.